Judges chapter number 8. Again, it is a privilege. We do love your pastor, Preacher Tim. We do appreciate you granting us the opportunity to be here tonight. And again, I know I see a lot of some familiar faces, some not so familiar, but I promise you one thing. If you leave this place not knowing who I am tonight, it ain't going to hurt you. But if you leave this place tonight not knowing who he is, he'll make all the difference in your life here tonight. Judges chapter number 8. There we'll begin reading in verse number 4. Judges chapter number 8. Verse number 4. I'm one of those growing up in church that I always thought, and I'm sure you've heard the argument, how irrelevant the Old Testament is. And really, how irrelevant the whole Bible is, a lot of people believe. But I'm finding out tonight that the longer I live and the more I'm in this thing, the more relevant I see, even in our day and time. Judges chapter number 8, verse number 4, when you're standing, have your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread to my people and that follow me, for they be faint. I am pursuing after Zebath and Zelmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth are the hands of Zebath and Zelmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into mine hand, then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness with briars. And he went thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. And Zebath and Zalmunna were in Concord, and their hosts were with them about 15,000 men, all that were left, all the host of the children in the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them and dwelt in tents in the east of Nobah and Zebath and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zebath and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the hosts, if you will. Let us pray. Kind Jesus tonight, God, we love you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, and privilege, Lord, that it is to be, God, in your house, Lord, one more time tonight. Surely we know tonight, Father, unless you do the preaching, God, Lord, everything will be in vain. Father, we thank you for the songs, Lord, that have already been sung. We thank you, Father, Lord, for everything that has already been reminisced, Lord, the reminders in our heart of how good you've been to us, Lord. Surely tonight, God, we could be reminded, Father, Lord, God, that you could have left us where you found us, Father, Lord. Surely we're none worthy, none deserving of your goodness in our life, but Father, we thank you, Lord, for it anyway. And God, we just ask, Lord, you'd hide us behind the cross, God, one more time. God, give us the words to say tonight, Lord, that we wouldn't be seen, we wouldn't be heard. God, that you would receive glory, God, and honor for it all. Lord, that everything said, everything done, everything accomplished here tonight, God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Tonight, again, Judges chapter number 8 will tell and bring the conclusion of the story of Gideon. Most of the time when we think of Gideon and we think of his story and we think of what all God did through Gideon, most of the time we only put emphasis on chapters number 6 and chapters number 7. When we focus on Gideon and his talk with the Lord, how God would call him up, but he was just a man that needed reassurance. He was just a man that wanted to really understood and be confirmed that God was going to use him again. Countless times and times and times again, we see that he would ask God for a sign, or he would ask God for some kind of assurance and everything like that tonight. And let me make it perfectly clear. Let me make you realize I'm not excluding myself tonight. Before you cast stones at Gideon, I know we've all been at that place before where we need some reassurance from the Lord, just some reminders that he was still there, that he was still walking with us and everything like that here tonight. But you flip over, because chapter number 7, this is where, again, the more familiar part of Gideon's story. He starts out with these thousands and thousands of men. They're going after the Midianites. That would be some 135,000. And the Bible says there that God looks at Gideon, and where we'll know the story from, he says, hey, you're going to be able to take them, but you ain't going to do it with that many people.
Go ahead.
I've already got you the victory. You're going to win and everything, but we've got to lessen that number. Again, the Bible says that Gideon was willing to listen at this point, and the Bible says little bit by little bit, he begins to dwindle that number down until we get our number of 300. And the Bible says now it is 300 against some 130,000 men inside of his life. But there's something about Gideon in chapters number 7. I don't read where he's praying again for God to give him assurance anymore. I don't read where he's beginning to doubt anymore. Again, when God called him, in fact, God even speaks unto Gideon, and he says these words: "These men have I already put in your hand, but if you're fearful to go fight, and if it seems that there's even an ounce of doubt somewhere in your mind," he said, "go down to the valley and see what the enemy has to say. Go listen unto them." And the Bible says that Gideon would go, and he would hear them tell of a dream that they would have. And again, one man said to another, "Well, I tell you what that dream's about. Gideon's about to come in here, and he's about to clean house." They begin to look at themselves, and the Bible says, hearing this, Gideon begins to worship. I believe he was encouraged. I believe he was energized. I believe there was probably a moment of revival in Gideon's heart that he had never felt before. And the Bible says at that point that they take their trumpets, and they take their empty jars, and they take their torches, and the Bible says that God begins to direct them, and they blow that trumpet, and some 120,000 men had been slain at that point. Over half of the army is already eclipsed and destroyed at that point in time. I don't know about you, and I don't know how you think, but that might be the time where Gideon might sit back and say, "Well, most of them are gone. The only thing that's left now is the stragglers. Surely most of the war is over." Maybe Gideon thought in his mind, "Well, maybe now I can take it back and maybe ease up just a little bit. Maybe now I can slow down just a little bit." But the Bible says here in verse number 4, because that's where a lot of our mentality is that Gideon understood one thing: the job was not yet done. The Bible doesn't say that he was just to fight the Midianites. He was supposed to wipe them out. And Gideon understood that as long as they were there, the job was not yet done. That as long as they stood standing, that his commandment and commitment to the Lord was not yet finished. And so in Genesis chapter number 8, we find Gideon is picking up and he is pursuing after them. He has done everything that God has called him to do. He is the epitome of faith here, just what Israel has needed. But verse number 4, where we're going to take our text from. You got to excuse me. Verse number 4. The Bible says there that they know where the enemy is. They're on their way to get him. And Preacher Tim right there, verse number 4, the Bible says they are faint but pursuing. Let me go ahead and put that in our terms. They're tired. They're give out. Let's go ahead and put it in more terms. I don't know if they're as encouraged here in verse number 4 as what they probably were in chapter number 7. When everything's going good and God is stirring, it's easy to get on the bandwagon then. When victory is all around you and it seems that God's blessing, it's easy to get on the bandwagon then. When it seems that God has wrought a great and miraculous work inside of our life. In fact, I'm bound to believe here tonight, as they begin to sink, I couldn't help but think that, you know what, I could sit here tonight and complain about a lot. I could sit here tonight and grumble about a lot. But boy, if I can just see how good God has been in my life, and if I could see how much he has done for us, and if I could see just what he is, hey, Gideon had a reason to keep pursuing, just like you and I tonight. If we could look back on our lives and see the many times that the shepherd showed up, boy, if there's one thing we can reminisce, I tell our church all the time, if God never answers another prayer, and if God never sends another blessing, he has still done more than enough for us to uplift him and worship him and to see this thing through here tonight. And Gideon understands that at this point in time, now this is the point where the real faith has to dig in, because at this point, his emotions have wore off. You can ride on emotions for a little bit. You might disagree. You can ride on encouragement for a little bit. But sooner or later, both God and the devil will show you what you're made of tonight. Amen. Here, Gideon understands that they're faint. Again, if you study out that word faint, they are give out. They haven't even got to the enemy yet. They haven't even fought the war yet here tonight. But see, this is where it begins to get inside of our life, and this is where sometimes I think that we lose the relevancy of the Word of God, because let's be honest tonight, just like Gideon, Gideon understands it's not a matter of if he's going to win this battle, it's just a matter of when he's going to. There's no way, shape, or form that he loses this battle. God has already told him that. The enemy has already told him that. He already has heard it for every side. It's not just a matter of, he just knows he's got to finish this thing. There's no way for him to lose. But boy, tonight, let's be honest. I'm glad that the Bible says when Jesus gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. You know what that made you and I? It made us more than conquerors tonight. And let hell fight everything that it will. And let discouragement try to fill your heart. But let me remind somebody tonight, there is no way that you can lose as long as you got God on your side. He knows it. The enemy knows it. But boy, it's time that we remember it inside of our life here tonight. But let's be honest, because I know who I'm talking to tonight. I know this is the Sunday night crowd. But how many of us are tired tonight? How many of us are burdened down tonight? How many of us are worried? How many of us got cares? Hey, I know I'm glad I've got a place I can take them to, and I know I'm glad I got a shepherd that'll watch out and come and help me and everything like that. But let's be honest. Paul says it like this: I press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling. You know why he says press? Because some days I literally have to push myself. It's not that, hey, I'm thankful for the time that breeze of heaven would begin to blow and begin to give us that second wind. But let's be honest, sometimes it feels like it's an uphill battle to stay encouraged. Sometimes it feels like it's an uphill battle to stay in this fight, to finish the course and everything like that. In verse number 4, the Bible says there, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. Tonight we just want to preach on the simple thought on when your steps are getting a little slower. Notice first of all, we see that when their steps got a little slower, we saw their request. The Bible says there in verse number 5, and he says that he went to the man of Succoth, and he says, I pray. He says, give, I pray you. But notice his request. The only thing he asked for, he said, just give us some bread. He does not ask for men to join his army. He does not ask for these men to give them a bed to lay in. He does not ask them to give money over to support their cause or anything. The only thing he asked was just a little bit of bread. The only thing he asked was just for a little bit of provision, just for his men and everything like that, because remember, they are tired. They're worn out and they're and everything like that. And you're going to look at me and say, well, preacher, it's just bread. It's really not that serious here tonight. And if you look at the Old Testament, you might would agree. But if you flip over to the New Testament in John chapter number 6, on a hillside after Jesus is feeding 5,000 men, he looks at these and he says these words right here that I want you to know something, fellas. I am the bread of life. If any man eat of me, he'll never hunger again. And boy, this morning, they came to that place, Preacher Tim, and the only thing they said was just give us some bread. And boy, this morning, you might say, Preacher, what am I supposed to do when life gets harder and I'm getting a little slower? Hey, the best thing you can do is open up your heart and say, God, just give me Jesus tonight. When I'm discouraged, just give me Jesus. When sickness hits my home, just give me Jesus tonight. When all of hell is at my doorstep, because it is not the world that'll fight my battle, and it's not you and I that I can find victory in. The Bible says there is one name given by which men must be saved. Thank God tonight there is still a name that we can proclaim in the time that we need it. And they said, just give me some bread. And boy, tonight we wonder, or maybe you don't wonder, I do, how we let things, Preacher Tim, how we've got to this place. Come on. It's because simply we started looking for substitutes and everything else. I long. See, one thing you know, you may not know about me, Preacher Tim does. I come from an old school kind of family who was in church when worship was real. Amen. Not that you just came to church, you had church. Yeah. It wasn't just a place, it was an experience you had. And we sit here and wonder if he's the same God with the same victory and everywhere else tonight. Why is it that we feel more defeated than we feel encouraged? Why is it we feel more burdened tonight than we feel encouraged? Why is it that we sit in this place like Gideon, where we are pursuing because we still want to make heaven our home, but it seems we are dwindling and tiring down more and more? I believe it's tonight that we've started looking for everything else except what God can give tonight, because I'm glad tonight that, hey, that song just got done singing about it. I don't know about you, but you know what? I'm glad he was a God that was faithful to me even when I wasn't to him. I'm glad he was a God that was good to me even when I wasn't good to him. I'm glad he was a God that never forgot about me even when I wasn't thinking about him. Boy, tonight we can see their request in their life, but not only do we see their request, secondly tonight, and if you didn't shout at that point, you ain't gonna like the rest of it, so that's on you. We see not only their requests, we see their tough resistance. And I could be wrong tonight, but if you look at chapter number 8 and chapter number 7, in both of these battles, when 120,000 men are killed and when the remaining 15,000 are killed, I don't read really where they struggle much. I don't read where Gideon gets in this battle and says, hey, I think we might have to retreat. I don't read where he looks at the rest of them. In fact, I'll go a step further. I don't read where any of the 300 are ever killed in any one of these battles. And so I don't know how this played out, but I imagine it probably went heavily in their favor. I imagine that they probably got on that battlefield trusting in the Lord, and everything worked out exactly as it should have. Everything lined up exactly how they were supposed to. But notice there, if you look through this entire chapter, you find three groups of people that Gideon will talk to. He will talk to the tribe of the Ephraim. He'll talk to the people of Succoth, and he'll talk to the men of Penuel. And you're going to look at me tonight the way I looked at this and thought, but you, what difference does that? Because notice there, preacher, what he said unto him. He says, hey, just give me some bread. You know what they looked and said? Is the war over? Have you won yet? Then why should I help you? When the work's done and you've got those men's head in your hand, then come back and see me. You know who these three people were? From the nation of Israel. Let me go ahead and put two and two together. They were on Gideon's side. Gideon's toughest resistance was never from the enemy. It was from his own people.
Amen.
I told you, you ain't going to like it, but it's all right. Because let's be honest. Church should be the place where we find the most help. This should be the place where I can get in commune with God, not just with God, but with God's people tonight. This should be the place that has designated us, or I can find a place that I can get away from the cares of life and get away from the things of life. Hey, church should be the place I can find help. Church should be the place I could find rest tonight. It should be the place I could find family and be a part of tonight. But let's be honest, as much as we are of faith, we are also of flesh. And let's be honest, there are sometimes the very ones that should be helping you are sometimes the ones that are hurting you. The ones that should be encouraging you are sometimes the ones that'll put up the toughest battle and the toughest fight and the toughest mindset inside of our life. Boy, tonight we can see all of these things begin to play out. But it was from his own people tonight.
Amen.
You might say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? I ain't going to air out. Every church has its problems. Could you imagine what the church could accomplish if we would stop fighting each other?
Amen.
Could you imagine what we would accomplish if we would realize that the one sitting beside you is not your enemy?
Amen.
That the church across the street is not your enemy? That we are in this thing? Because again, I don't know about you tonight, and I don't mean this disrespectful. When we get called to heaven, he's not looking for Liberty Free Will Baptist
Amen.
Church. He's not looking for Lancaster County. He is looking for those who have been blood bought and saved and redeemed by the precious name of Jesus Christ here tonight. And so we could understand that, you know, as much as I want to make heaven my home, it should be my desire. I want to help you make heaven your home. Hey, if I can't help you, I sure don't want to hurt you tonight, because I would hate to know that there was somebody who was trying to get to Christ and I was the thing that got in their way here tonight. We see that their toughest battle didn't come from the enemy, but it came from their own people tonight. But not only do we see their request, not only do we see their tough resistance, thirdly, well, we're done tonight, we see the true relinquish. You read there a little bit further down in this text, we'll read that that Gideon will win this battle. In verse number 22, the Bible says there that the men will get excited and they'll get stirred up and they'll begin to worship and they'll begin to praise God. In verse number 22, the Bible says this, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of the Midian." Verse number 23, "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you." But that next verse, or that next phrase, we're done. "The Lord shall rule over you." I'm not one to try to take credit away from the Lord. But I know the world and the way in which we live, and I'm going to be honest with you, if a lot of people was in Gideon's spot and they would say, "Hey, be a ruler over us," there would have probably been a lot of men said, "Yes, sir, bring the crown here. Go ahead and polish off that throne and get my seat ready." He could have said, "Yes, sir, I have led you. I have done all of this for you here tonight." But Gideon looked back and said, "Fellas, I want you to understand something. We got this victory, but it went by my hand. We might have been led by this way, but it went by my hand. You might be standing here tonight tired," he said, "and victorious, but I want you to understand it wasn't by my hand." I imagine Gideon said, "I want you to know something. There was a day that I thought I couldn't do this anymore. There was a time back home where I just thought God was done with me." And that same voice from heaven begin to call and to encourage us. And I think Gideon maybe understood that, you know what, he can do a lot better job than I can tonight. Because you might say, "Preacher, but we are the vessels that God used." Yes, we sure are tonight. But the Bible says it like this: "Woe unto a man when he thinks he is something when he is nothing, for he deceives his own self." Tonight, let me go ahead and tell you, you didn't get this far because of who you are. You didn't get this far because of what you've done. The only reason we have made it this far in the fight is because there was a God in heaven that has ruled over us and kept us in the moments when we couldn't keep ourselves here tonight. And Gideon said that, you know what? He said, "You know, I could rule over you, but I'd mess it up every time." He says, "I could lead you, but I'd mess it up every time." He said, "But I got a God in heaven who's never known defeat. I've got a God in heaven who doesn't know failure. I've got a God in heaven who doesn't know disappointment." Tonight, he says that, you know what? "God, that there's a lot of things I could do and a lot of places I could go and a lot of titles I could hold." He said, "But the greatest thing I want to be known for, I just want to be a servant of his tonight. I just want to follow under his lead." And the Bible says there that when he could have had everything, the only thing he said was, boy, they begin to look at him. They begin to say, boy, I imagine they're excited. 300 men shouldn't be able to defeat 135,000 men. 300 men, they should have died in the first battle. They should have died on the way to the second battle, because as give out as they possibly were, yet here they were. They should have died a long time ago here tonight. And we might look here and say, "Well, preacher, but you know, look how far we've made it." But again, I can tell you how you've made it. Because when we didn't deserve it and we weren't worthy of it, you might say, "Preacher, but Gideon was a man of valor." He sure was. And I'm not one to argue or debate or anything like that, but Preacher Tim, I'm bound to believe if Gideon said no, somebody else would have fit the bill. Somebody else would have stood up. Right. Just like it is here tonight. I want you to understand something. I'll throw myself into the mix. I have no idea why he would want to use me as a preacher. Have no idea. Because there's a lot better. There's a lot who are more smart, probably a lot more faithful, could do a jam up more job than anything else. And you know what it is tonight? It's not my job to question why God does what he does.
Amen.
It's not my place to question why God uses who he uses and who he doesn't. Tonight, Gideon said that, but it's not my place to wonder, but just to trust in him. It's not my place to step over any other bounds, but just to trust in him tonight. Because I can assure you one thing. If you want to serve God, you absolutely can. If you want to worship God, you absolutely can. If you want to finish this race, you absolutely can. If you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you absolutely can. But the only way that that's going to happen, I've got to remember the one who has kept me this far. I've got to remember it's only by his grace and by his goodness. Because David said it like this: "Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, we'd have quit and been consumed a long time ago." I'm glad that the only reason that I can relinquish why I'm still here is because I'm serving God who hasn't gave up on us here tonight. And the Bible says there that, you know what, they begin to press him and said, hey, why don't you rule over us? And you know what this particular instance and this point is? Gideon is still tired. He hadn't stopped. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know the Bible says, and Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Thank God for it tonight. But let me tell you, and I ain't trying to be rude. If it's rest you're after tonight, you probably ain't going to find it. Because the Bible says your enemy is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
And I have found through Genesis, through Revelation, if there's one thing the enemy doesn't do, he don't take too many days off.
Amen.
There ain't too many times he may. The Bible says he might go for a season, but he might return. You might say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do when my steps are getting a little slower? What am I supposed to do when I'm supposed to be the one feeling victorious and feeling more than a conqueror and supposed to be lifting my hands up toward heaven because I'm on my way to heaven tonight, but I'm too burdened down? My shout's not what it used to be. My faith's not what it used to be. What am I supposed to do when I'm supposed to be in this fight, but all I'm feeling is worn out? And all I'm feeling is give out. Be just like Gideon. Gideon was ready to quit, but he just kept moving. Gideon, I'm sure Gideon probably thought I'd be much better off back at home, but he just kept pursuing. He just kept pressing on tonight. You might say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Just keep pressing on tonight. Not that it might get easier or not that it might be anything like that, but I'm bound to believe when I hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it'll be worth it all tonight. It would be worth every tear. It would be worth every valley, every battle that we find ourselves in tonight.
Amen.
So let me ask you this, musicians, whoever's going to get our altar calls, if y'all come to get a song ready tonight, as we stand all over this place, every head bow, every eye closed tonight.